tell you are by far the most interesting single-serving friend I've ever met. To have this thing, everything on a plane is single-serving, even the...
Well, I get it. It's very clever.
Oh, thank you.
How's that working out for you?
What?
Being clever.
Great.
Keep it up, then.
First rule of Career Chat is tell everyone about Career Chat. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everyone. My name is Craig Michael Patrick, and this episode of Career Chat is called Conversations with Ourselves, Networking with Alumni. This episode, we hand over the reins to Mark Lacker, Mark Lee Visiting Executive Professor in the Miami Institute for Entrepreneurial Studies. Mark interviews Rick Amos. Now, before we get started, there are a few things you need to know about Rick. Number one, Rick holds a bachelor's degree in marketing and finance from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. Number two, Rick began his career with the Xerox Corporation, where he was responsible for several vertical markets in Southern California. After Xerox, he held various sales and customer support management positions in both the financial and apparel industries, as well as marketing and operations management at Intact. So Rick's been around the block. Number three, currently, Rick is president of Certreat International. And number four, if you should choose at some point to contact Rick, you should have a plan. Rick has a plan. Make no mistake.
So, Rick, as a alumni business owner, when you receive an email or a phone call from a Miami student, what's your first reaction?
Well, the first reaction, quite honestly, Mark, is I'm flattered that somebody would reach out to a former alumni and seek some guidance and assistance, and that always makes everyone feel good. But quickly I move to, okay, what is it that they're seeking and what is it that I can do for them? Most of the times the emails or the phone calls I receive are from students that have come across my name from a source and are seeking some guidance either from some of the things I've done from a career perspective or, you know, I happen to be located in Chicago and they want to move to Chicago. So they're reaching out usually with the support of somebody from the Business Advisory Council or some professors that I may have worked with and are seeking some feedback and input about career choices and trying to find a job. In that process, I generally am looking to see how articulate are they conveying their message. Do they know what they want to do? And I'm essentially looking for a favorable impression. Although they're a Miami student, and certainly I want to reach out and help them, what I'm also looking for is somebody that is going to represent themselves very well. And if I'm going to refer or help a student, obviously I want to make sure they're putting their best foot forward, which is ultimately also going to be a reflection on me.
Rick, you mentioned you're looking for a favorable impression. What are some of the things that would suggest to you that they are making a favorable impression, or what are some of the things they should do to make that favorable impression?
Good question. I know right away if they have done their homework in terms of contacting me and what it is they are seeking or asking me, meaning that they'll have looked at my resume or my bio and there'll be something about that has attracted them to reach out and contact me and they'll want to talk about that. Versus I also get phone calls or emails from students that it's more of a generic email, if you will, almost like a form letter you get in the mail that just kind of says, hey, you're a Miami alum, I'm a Miami student, help. And those are obviously less compelling because you feel like you're one of 50 people that they sent it out to. So a student that will, in essence, make a statement, Rick, here's who I am, here's what my background is, here's what my major is, here's what I want to do, I see that you have similar interest. Want to talk to you about that, or want to engage in some dialogue with you about that, and what counsel and advice can you provide me? That's obviously a little more compelling and more to the point, and also requires, honestly, a little less time on my part if I know specifically what they want to do versus just a generic reach out and touch type of a situation.
And how do you generally respond to someone that has done their homework and reached out to you the right way?
You know, I will respond rather quickly. I think it's not only important for the student to make a favorable impression, but I think it's also important that I do the same. So I will respond either by returning a call or responding to an email, usually the same day. But in doing so, I will also ask the students to reach, to set up a time or to contact me when I can put the appropriate amount of time in my schedule to talk to them about a topic. To be quite candid, I'll do this, and I'm first looking to see, will they contact me at the time in which we set up. You'd be surprised, Mark, that more than 50% of the students will set an appointment to talk, and more than 50% of them won't call me on time. And obviously that's a filter for me in terms of, okay, yeah, they're interested, but how interested are they? So I'll kind of set that up as a first test, if you will. And then after that contact, we'll generally have some minor discussions in terms of, okay, what is it you want? Give me some time to think about how I can help you or what sort of advice I can give you. I'll set up a second email or a phone conversation, and also look for them to respond to that one as well. And if they can do it twice or three times, depending upon my schedule, then I know, all right, I've got somebody who's got a purpose, they're driven, they really want my assistance, and to be honest with you, I get a little more fully engaged there. You get so many calls from so many students that want your help. You want to help them all, but it's difficult to do. So in essence, the students kind of filter themselves out in terms of how serious are they about seeking some advice and some counsel.
Rick, what are some of the things that you have been able to do for students in terms of providing help?
Well, I'll give you my most recent example. I was contacted by a Miami student that happened to be a swimmer, and she noticed that I had worked in the medical device industry at that point in my career, and that's what she wanted to get into. And after a series of back and forth in terms of talking with her, I happened to set up a time for her to kind of go through why did she want to do it, what were the companies that she was really interested in, because it's a pretty large marketplace. And then I reached out with her in terms of targeting companies with her, had her come back to me with a list of these are the 10 companies that I want to try and get interviews with. And I looked at the list with her, and we kind of whittled it down to the top five. Then we reached out to alumni or business contacts that I had within those companies to try and set up interviews for her. So it was a great opportunity where she was really leading the career search, seeking my input along the way. We kind of worked together through her list, and then once I felt like she had earned the opportunity for me to reach out to my business contacts and make an introduction, we did it, and she was successful in securing a job with a Fortune 100 company through that process.
We heard in when we did the first side of the podcast series on networking, we heard a little bit from the students about how uncertain they would feel in the process when days and weeks would go by between contacts. Can you give us some perspective of what students should expect in terms of timing of conversations and timing of back and forth?
Yeah, really, really good question. You know, we are all extremely busy, and that goes for students as well as people that are out working in the business community. And I think a diligent perspective needs to be established by the student, but also some understanding that, I'm talking to real men and women out there that are doing real things. And while they want to help Miami students, you know, it's a B or a C priority for them, not an A priority. But within that, I believe that most alumni that I talk to have a similar, what I'll call, screening process that I do. They want to know, how badly does this student really want my assistance? And so I think it's appropriate for the students to reach out and establish a expectation with the alumni that they're working with as to the frequency of communication. I think this will not only show the business alum that they're organized and they're serious about their approach, but it'll also set a proper expectation that, in essence, the alumni and the student are buying into in terms of frequency of contact. I know with most of the students I work with, I expect them to contact me. It's usually easiest, given my travel schedule, through email, and then I can respond back, you know, 24 hours a day whenever I've got time to respond back to their email, and then they can follow up, and we can generally get most of our work done through that process. But we'll probably schedule a phone call about every month just to kind of touch base and say, okay, where are we? What are you thinking? What are you not thinking? How did that go? And things that you just can't get through an email process. But again, you know, at this point in the relationship, I've bought into the student. I think they're doing all the things they need to be, and I think they're feeling pretty good about the interaction or the advice that I'm giving them. So it's really a two-way street. I think the student needs to be more aggressive on the front end. Once they've kind of broken through, if you will, I think they'll find it reaching out and having contact with alumni becomes very easy after that initial contact. I know a lot of the students I talk to are extremely nervous, as I would be too, when you're 21, 22 years old, calling up somebody saying, hey, you don't know me, but I went to Miami, you did too, will you help? That's generally how they all start, and then it's having a talk track as to, okay, where do you go after that? That, in essence, sets the tone with the alumni.
So what would you say to a student who may be listening to this podcast, who in fact is nervous? In terms of advice of how to pick up the phone or hit the send key?
First of all, remember that whoever it is you're getting ready to call or hit the send button to was not long ago in the same position you are. They want to help. They want to be of assistance to you. In many cases, they're wondering, how can I help, not do I want to help? So if the student will just have the courage to have rehearsed a talk track or an opening pitch to an alumni as to why you're contacting them and what it is that you want from them, I think they will find most to be very receptive. When you get the, hi, I'm Bobby Jones and I'm from a Miami student and I see you live in Chicago and I want to move to Chicago and I'm looking for a job, can you help? That's a little bland. It's a little generic versus, hi, I'm Bobby Jones. I'm a Miami business student. I'm getting a major in finance. I'm interested in being in the banking industry, and I want to live in Chicago. Would love to talk to you about who you might know in that industry and any career advice you could give me. You see the difference? A little more purpose in it. As a receiver of that information, I now know what to do with it, versus I do get calls from students that say, I'm graduating, I want to move to Chicago, I have no idea what I want to do, can you help me figure it out? And I don't have the time, nor do I really know what to do with that, and it becomes much more difficult. So, you know, I become naturally less engaged in that process when it's a little more bland.
When it's bland like that, Rick, or so open-ended that it's hard for you to understand how to help them, generally, how do you respond or not respond?
If they're persistent, I still will respond because, you know, when I was graduating from Miami, to be honest with you, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I've got a soft spot for those students. So I generally will take them down a path of saying, okay, where are your interests? Why are you interested in those types of things? And really try and give them some counsel in terms of building a foundation of experiences at a young age while they help figure out what it is they want to do. Because that's exactly the career path I went through. Graduated, didn't know what I wanted to do, know I wanted to go work for a big corporation where I could get some training and get some expertise and kind of figure it out, if you will. So I targeted my searches when I graduated to the Fortune 100 companies and then just networked through that channel. So a lot of kids or a lot of students that call me up, they're kind of going through the same process. You know, I think it works well for most students. It worked well for me, so I encourage them to do those kind of things.
While a student is in college, what advice would you have them about preparing for the day they're not in college?
There's a lot of things to do. Find a mentor is probably the most important. That can be a parent. It can be a professor. It can be the dean of your college. It could also be a family friend. Find someone that will invest in your development, that hopefully has been around for 20 or 30 years, has real-world experiences, and can kind of establish a relationship with them of they've been where you want to go, and they can give you some wise advice and some counsel through that process. And that will help, I think, make better decisions. I run into a lot of students that in this day and age want to be entrepreneurial and want to come out of college and start their own business. And while that's admirable, you know, that's hard stuff. And I think a better route, you know, unless you've got the next Google idea, I think a better route is to come out, get some business experience, work for some of the corporations, take some of their best practices, learn while you're involved in a much larger organization, and kind of develop your plan in terms of, okay, eventually I want to own my own business or start my own business, and kind of migrate out of that. Those students who start their own business and then are unsuccessful at doing that, I think have a very hard time then going, okay, I'm now 24 or I'm 25, and now I want to go, quote unquote, to corporate America and kind of get in that process. I think it's very hard to kind of swim upstream in that direction.
Great. Actually, this is just what we wanted to cover today, Rick. So I think we've hit the main, the main conversation pieces. But the catch-all question is, what else would you like to add?
You know, I think be patient. It's a very stressful time as you come, you know, on the back end of your junior year and into your senior year, and now you're kind of go, okay, I want to go out and tackle the world, and I'm not quite sure what I want to do. I think it's very few people that know what their purpose is at 21 or 22 years of age. And I think if you decide industry first and then the company you want to work with second, I think you will find yourself the ability to kind of navigate through the pros and cons of a company versus another company, because really the corporations become about culture. So understanding that I want to work in a specific industry and then what companies within that industry, I think will make the search a little bit easier. And you'll get a feel for, okay, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And what's the environment I need to put myself in to be successful? And if you can think of it from that perspective, rather than I'm graduating, I need a job doing anything, which with the economy being today, I know a lot of people naturally think, I think you'll find yourself on a path to be a little bit more successful. Statistically, students will change careers 3 times within the first 5 years of graduation. So what that tells you is that a lot of kids take jobs, they're excited about it, 6 months or a year into it, they kind of realize, okay, this isn't what I want to do, or this isn't the company I want to work for, and now they're out on their job search again. So if you're lucky enough to be thinking 3 years, 5 years down the road, you know, when you go into your first job, your ability to move quickly and get more experience and be more successful will probably be a little easier.
Career Chat is brought to you by Miami University's Career Services. Special thanks go to our guest host, Mark Lacker, and to Leslie Marmer for no evident reason. Music by the most excellent Italian band, Last Minute. Be sure to check Career Services Career Chat webpage for show notes and supplemental reference material.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.